In our first reading from Acts of the Apostles, St. Peter is giving sort of an Easter homily, an Easter sermon, in the sense that his speech is all about the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, pretty much every sermon or speech that's recorded in the New Testament is an Easter sermon. Why? What's the big deal about the resurrection of Jesus? What's the big deal about Easter? Well, first, the resurrection means that Jesus is still alive and really present and really active and doing things in the world and in our lives. First and foremost, saving souls. Saving souls. We can't be saved by a dead person. Second, the resurrection of Jesus proves everything else in the Christian religion. The reason we believe everything we believe is not the teaching, but the teacher, Christ Jesus himself. And the resurrection proves his divine identity and his infallible authority. Third, the resurrection gives us hope. Gives us hope. We lose many things in life, but we apparently lose everything in death. Nothing seems to be stronger and more definitive than death. Now we have the sure and certain hope of something beyond death, the resurrection. Now with that in mind, because I think it's always good for us as Christians, as Catholics, to recall again just the significance of this Easter celebration, a bit more to the point that I want to hit home in my homily this morning. There's one detail in St. Peter's sermon in our first reading today from Acts of the Apostles to which I'd like to draw our attention. Because if you're paying close attention, it's a little puzzling. It's kind of a weird statement. St. Peter says that God providentially arranged for the risen Christ to be seen not by all, but by the witnesses chosen by God in advance who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Not by all. So who's he referring to? He's referring to those selected, chosen in advance, his 12 apostles. St. Paul, he mentions 500 others who saw Jesus, who are still alive, when he writes to the Corinthians who doubted the resurrection. And so he essentially invites them, he dares them, you know, to interview those eyewitnesses. 500, you know, that's a pretty good number, but it's still a pretty tiny percentage of the rest of the world. Why didn't God arrange for Jesus? This is the key question. Why didn't God arrange for Jesus to reveal himself directly after his resurrection to everybody so that it would be impossible to doubt? Think about it. Why didn't Jesus reveal himself to everyone if his resurrection is so important? Because God didn't want to make it impossible to doubt. God didn't want to make it impossible to doubt. The famous Catholic philosopher Peter Kreef says, he didn't want to make us an offer we couldn't refuse. Because he's the Son of God the Father, not the Godfather. Didn't want to make us an offer we couldn't refuse. He made us an offer that we could refuse because that's what love does. That's what love does. Love makes us an offer we can refuse. Love respects freedom. Love relies on faith and trust. not force. Not the force of seeing him, and not physical force, and not political force, and not emotional force, and not even logical force. Jesus says to us, "Seek and you will find," implying that only those who seek him will find him. God did that because God is love, and love seeks love. So God gives us enough light so that those who seek him, who love him, and who want him will find him. But God won't give us so much light that even those who don't seek him or don't love him or don't want him, don't want to find him, will find him against their will. That will happen at the last judgment, but not now. You don't need love or faith or trust or your heart to know that the sun is the center of all the light in the atmosphere. You just need your eyes. But you do need love and faith and trust and the eye of your heart to know that the Son of God is the center of all the light in your life. So he gives enough light for seekers, those seeking him, but not enough light for those who are not looking for him. This makes for one great point of reflection. One great point of reflection, I think, for each of us, you and me, this Easter. Do I consider myself an ardent seeker of God? Do I consider myself an ardent seeker of God? Or are there parts of my heart that are not yet open to receiving his love and his message and his desire to change me? We can be in the habit of going to church every Sunday, but not really be a seeker of God, or have our hearts open to the transforming power of his love and the resurrection. When Jesus performed miracles of healing, it wasn't so much that everyone would believe, but for those who were ready to believe in him. And to those he miraculously healed, he would say, "Your faith has saved you." He came into our world not primarily to heal our bodies, but to heal our souls, to save us from the spiritual death that comes from sin, which is worse than physical death because the soul is more important than the body. And souls and bodies always go together in the Bible. God saves both. He created both, good, and he resurrects both aspects of our human nature. In the Creed, we say that we believe in both the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Jesus' bodily resurrection is both a literal, visible fact in history and also a sign, a symbol of what he does invisibly to our souls, so that he is actually doing right now. He is resurrecting eternal life in them. This life begins in baptism, is strengthened in confirmation, is fed in the Eucharist, is healed in the sacrament of confession, and is harvested in the last sacraments, the last rites. The person, the whole person, is resurrected by the only love that is stronger than death, the love of Jesus Christ for you. Are you seeking that love that is a relationship with him? And will you let yourself receive that love today? And if so, how does that change the very course of your life. Happy Easter.